Hello and welcome. This is Todd Butterfield for ID the Future. Today we have with us Steve Loffman. Now, he's a consultant in the growing field of enterprise architecture, and it deals with the design of very large, very complex composite information systems that are orchestrated to perform specified tasks in demanding environments. Wow. That's quite a job description. I wish we had time to get into it. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks. Good to be here.
You recently wrote an article series at evolutionnews.org that is based on two questions. If we ask good questions, you mentioned, we will be enlightened and vice versa. And sometimes I think people deliberately ask not very good questions to keep things in the dark, but that's a discussion for another day. In the first article, the question you asked is intelligent design science? Now, it sounds to me, because you said it that way, that some people may not think so. Is that right?
Well, my point in this is not really to rehash the question about whether idea is science. It's clearly science. The question has been answered very well in many other forums. Discovery Institute and Evolution News have many resources. And in my article, I list several of those for folks that want to dig a little deeper. But my goal in the article is not to rehash the answers, but to make a few observations about the debate over this question. So as Philip Johnson pointed out many years ago, you can learn a lot about the question by observing the way it's argued.
Right.
And the question is not argued honestly all the time. I think a lot of people do ask the questions honestly, but a lot of people are not intending to get real answers here. They're trying to obfuscate or to hold the question at arm's length.
I see. Well, in your article, you mentioned that maybe this avenue of research, intelligent design and Darwinism, is more of a historical science. And for people like me, I'm not exactly sure the difference between historical science and other sciences. Can you help me out with that?
Yeah, so this is, in my experience, this is a real issue for a lot of people. They're just not taught in school that there's a difference between classical sciences and historical sciences. The methodologies and the tools are quite different. You know, obviously, any discussion of biological origins involves the distant past. You know, what we see today came about through real events in space-time history. So the question is, what were those events? And we just don't know. We weren't there. No human being was there to observe them directly, as far as we know. And they're generally not repeatable. So when an intelligent being acts in history, that's a non-repeatable event. When random causation occurs, you know, per Darwinian evolution, and you know, that does happen all the time, it's non-repeatable. So we can never fully reconstruct past events. They're not visible to us. So we're in a position of being able to observe the effects, but we have to infer the causes because we can't observe the causes directly. So this is true of all historical sciences, archaeology, paleontology, evolutionary biology, and it's equally true of intelligent design. We have to infer what happened. Now, we have tools to do that, and they're good tools, but most people don't understand that difference. There's not a repeatable experiment that we can use to determine why the indigenous population left Mesa Verde 1,100 years ago. We don't know. We can hypothesize, but we can never know for sure.
So it sounds to me like you're alluding to the fact that classical science, as it's defined in just the basic, I come up with a hypothesis, I'm going to go try it, I'm going to try to repeat it. That maybe is a pretty narrow definition now for what happens in science because there's so much more going on in the sciences.
Yeah, so, right. So there's historically been this description, I think, you know, mostly in the lower level textbooks, you know, certainly the way I was taught when I was going through school,
sure,
that there are these demarcation criteria that somehow are going to differentiate science from non-science. Well, those are based on a fairly simplistic view of what science really is. You know, working science today involves a lot of theoretical science that doesn't have that empirical sort of feel that you think of when you're doing a chemistry experiment in class.
Right.
So in the real world of complexity, science doesn't yield very well to those kinds of rules. And that means there are commonly accepted sciences that are exceptions to every such rule. It's virtually impossible to create a rule that doesn't also apply to something that everyone agrees is science. So, you know, so if you're going to apply a demarcation criteria to intelligent design, you should apply the same demarcation criteria to other historical sciences.
I see.
That would include Darwinian evolution. So is Darwinian evolution testable? Not really. I mean, some facets of it might be, but so there's this danger that I think human beings fall into where you cherry pick your demarcation criteria.
Sure.
And apply them only to the theories you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fundamentally dishonest. People do it a lot without really thinking about it, but there's got to be some cognitive dissonance somewhere under the hood there.
Absolutely.
You know, you're applying that criteria to something you don't like, but refuse to apply it to something you do like, then that's not really leading to good outcomes.
Well, it seems like we're seeing a double standard like that in many other avenues of life, such as politics. And it doesn't surprise me that it would happen in the scientific realm as well. Because as you mentioned, there is a definite worldview tied to this kind of study, whether it's Darwinism or intelligent design, and probably inextricably related. And as such, as we talk about Darwinism and intelligent design, and you mentioned that there is a potentially, they're both taking the same approach, and the difference is their worldview. Is that correct?
Yeah. So if you look, you know, unbiased look at Darwinian evolution, the theory and how it's researched and the apologists for Darwinian evolution, and you look at intelligent design, they're almost completely parallel. They use exactly the same methodologies. They're both historical sciences. They both start with observed phenomena and work back from the present time to infer what happened in the past. They both apply logic and reasoning to find the best explanation. So what's the difference? The difference is that intelligent design is offensive to materialist philosophy. It doesn't offend science. Science doesn't have a dog in the hunt about whether there's an intelligent designer or not. That's materialist philosophy.
Got it.
It's just not allowable to that philosophy. Therefore, it's offensive to those who conflate the notion of science with the notion of materialist philosophy.
So it's personal.
Yeah, well, yeah, everything's personal at some level, yeah. But, you know, the bottom line is they don't want there to be purpose. It doesn't fit their worldview. So there must be an unpurposeful cause that made all this happen. They may not know what it is, but they're convinced that there is one. And intelligent design is open to that cause.
Which makes perfect sense. And as I think about it, and this is just me looking at how this has developed over the years, both Darwinism and intelligent design are looking at what they see. But it seems to me like there's just a huge amount more of visible evidence of intelligence than not. I mean, if you're just going to pile up evidence, is that your take or is that just me putting my own worldview on top of it all?
Well, no, I think you're right about that. So I wrote an article for Evolution News last summer, just about exactly a year ago, I think it was released, that gave an illustration of a guy in a boat at the dock, and he's untied his boat, and he realizes that he has 1 foot on the dock and 1 foot in the boat, and there are bad things happening, and this is going to be temporary and maybe not very pleasant. You know, that what's happening is the data is skewing away from the materialist view toward design.
Absolutely.
And it's irrevocably moving in that direction. There's no way that the complexity in biology is ever going to get lower. It's monotonically increasing. The longer we research, the more we learn, the more complexity we discover, and the more systems-oriented view we see in biology. And that's never going to change.
No, and we'll be talking about more in the second aspect of this discussion or the next episode. It reminds me of a friend of mine who was an archaeologist trained and suddenly realized that everything that she had been studying and taught was a house of cards. And it was fearful for a while because you pull away one part of it and the whole thing literally is going to fall apart. And she just had to rebuild her view based on what was made more sense. And that was what is evident as one studies. And I think of it as a universe that's opening up in a different direction. It's not going out into space necessarily, but the universe of what we can just find within our own planet is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger based on study.
That's an interesting way to put it. The things that we're discovering in the very small, and actually I would claim in the macro level in life, are really hard to deny. Again, we'll get into that in the next section, but ultimately what we're looking at here is a theory based on materialist philosophy that has exhausted its explanatory power. And the complexity, the explanatory demand continues to get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
The tension between those two can't last forever.
Well, one would hope.
Sooner or later, it's going to come crashing down. And it'll be an interesting thing to watch and to participate in. I think it'll be fun.
Well, and that is with people like you and writing articles like this, I feel like if we back off or relent in the effort, then the other philosophy would come in or the other view would continue to try to take over. So we have to be diligent on our end, in my humble opinion. In the article, you suggested maybe that it would be better if we created a new category and didn't call it science, and we could categorize discussions of origins for both ID and Darwinism. Would that be a good thing to do? Would it help?
Well, my point here is that the question about whether intelligent design is science, regardless of whether it's asked honestly or dishonestly, at some level, it's just a category question.
Gotcha.
So what we really want to know is what actually happened in space-time history. It doesn't matter what you call it. It doesn't matter whether it's science or something else. What we really care about is actual events in space-time history, and we can't observe them. We weren't there. We don't know for sure what happened.
True.
If an intelligent designer was, in fact, involved in those events, and the answer of intelligent design is not science, then, by definition, science is not relevant to the question of origin. So,
I like that.
No matter whatever you call it, we need a science that does the science of origins with all the answers on the table. So we're really searching for knowledge here. We want to follow the evidence wherever it leads, regardless of the worldview implication. No matter which side of the debate you're on, you want to follow this to its logical conclusion based on real evidence to find out what really happened as best we can determine.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. So are most of the naysayers found in academia, or is it coming from all fronts, the anti-ideas?
So in my experience, which is, it's limited, but in my experience, that this has more to do with people's worldview than where they are in society.
Okay.
Obviously, academics drive this. The world of academia leans really way far to the left and has bought in to materialist philosophy pretty much completely.
It's a large force to counteract. I've always felt kind of dismayed at basically, I guess, 90% to 95% of our institutions of higher learning are populated by folks who have the other view. And yet, I have also discovered that there are people like you and I who believe that ID is a legitimate direction, but they hide. So I'm not necessarily asking you for a solution right now, but do you have a...
You don't need one from me because, you know, there's no question. You're right. We are swimming upstream. But, you know, science ultimately is self-correcting.
Mm.
At any given point in history, that doesn't mean that science has the answers right.
True.
But science is designed to overcome the problems of its incorrectness by reapplying, reevaluating. And like I said, the evidence is skewing against Darwinian theory.
Yeah.
So sooner or later, there will be a correction. I don't know exactly when, and I sure don't know what that will look like. But at some point, something will happen. I have a saying I like to tell folks. You know, it doesn't matter so much where we are right now. In the end, the truth gets to win.
Mm. That's a good one. And I believe it.
It doesn't matter if we're swimming upstream, if we're swimming in the right direction.
Amen. I'll just say amen to that, because that's a really useful perspective. It sort of grounds a person, I think, rather than being in fear and kind of responding or reacting. We just keep moving toward the things that display the truth and let the truth speak for itself. It's what I hear you saying.
Yeah, just ask the questions. You know, the answers are there. There are good answers to these questions. We may not know what they are yet.
Right. Yep.
And we don't know, ultimately, whether the design hypothesis or the Darwinian hypothesis is the better answer. But I've made my bet based on where I see the data skewing. And there's no way you can get around that. You need to define a new causal mechanism to get past the place where Darwinism is stuck today.
Mm-hmm. Well, Steve Loffman, now that you've laid the foundation so well, I am eager to get into your second article. Can you stick around for another episode?
Sure.
Great. Thank you. For you, the listener, join us for part two of ID the Future as Steve Loffman asks and answers, is biology engineering? Is biology engineering? The answers will be worth listening to, I'm sure. And until then, I'm Todd Butterfield for ID the Future.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.